Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hello and welcome to Thursday's edition of the Terrace Scottish Football Podcast. As you know, everyone's going to Qatar. The Scottish Premiership is over, so we need something to talk about. And this is when we go into the dregs of Fowler's emails and find the list, amongst other things. And to join me to talk us through the list of all the weird and wonderful things that have happened in Scottish football so far this year is Mr. Robert Borthwick.
Hello, Tony.
Hello, Robert. And Fife's finest, Mr. Sean McGuigan.
Hello, Anthony.
Hello, hello. He's well, lads. He's well.
Yeah, yes. I'm all good, man. I'm all good.
I didn't realise you were coming. I felt very rude at the end there when I was saying someone send the link and then you said I'm pretty much outside. So you caught me almost literally with my pants down.
Nah, it's all good, man. We're half cut. Don't worry about it.
Where have you been today?
We felt like we were gate crashing, to be fair.
Yeah.
No, not at all. You're always welcome. So I was actually quite excited when you said you were going to be outside. This is much more fun. That's where have you been today? Have you been out?
I've had a very full day.
Yeah.
So that was day off today. But then, so if you've seen me on the last two episodes of A View for the Terrace, you may have noticed that I look like I'd just been... I was on the turn after being bitten by a member of the Walking Dead.
It's got pink eyes. It's got pink eyes.
So I went to get my eyes examined today. It was cool as fuck.
All right.
Okay. I've never had it done before. Do you know the bit in Blade Runner where they're testing to see if the person is a replicant?
Yes.
Is it the Voight-Kampff test?
Yeah.
It's exactly the same as that, essentially. You stick your head in two or three different machines and then they analyse your eyeballs. Like, can they take a picture of it and get like a 3D diagram of it?
And then they just look up and go, it's a sty.
But no, I really enjoyed it. However, when I made that appointment because it was a cancellation, it was only after I walked out of the opticians that I realised I had a podcast at 6:30. So I realised I had 7.5 hours to waste. I was like, how am I going to put in 7.5 hours? So I brought stuff for the gym and I went to the gym next to my work. Mm-hmm. Then I thought, right, well, I needed a film that lasted forever that started in the afternoon. So Wakanda Forever last 2 hours and 45 minutes, mm-hmm, and started at 1. So then I walked to The View outside of Waverley. So I went to see that. A decent film.
Good.
I quite enjoyed it. Could have done it been edited a bit better. There's a bit of sagging in the middle, but I quite enjoyed it. Then I thought, maybe I should revise for this podcast. So I done that for a bit, and then Robert Borthwick said he was in Platform 5, so I met him there, and we've had some drinks.
Is that a Green King pub?
It's a Green King pub.
And the listeners will hear loads more about that later on. So.
Ho, ho, ho. Green King.
Are you... So what, you went to Platform 5, you had a good time. What time were you there, Robert?
Yeah, so I was coming through from Glasgow, if you've heard of it.
I was rumours about it.
Yeah. So I was working today, and then, I got an off-peak train, because I'm an off-peak guy, and came through, and I thought, do you know what? Maybe Sean's not working today. I'm going to send a text just to test the waters here. And as it turned out, he was about 30 seconds away, because it was quite weird that I texted him and said, I'm in Platform 5, do you want to come and have a pint? And he just sort of came through the wall.
Almost instantly. Yeah, just appeared.
Aye, like a phantom. Just came up to me and asked for a glass of Malbec. So,
Of course, you never drink pints, do you? It's always... are you like exclusively white? I know you're drinking cider right now, but
no, I was at the Dundee Rovers games on Dundee Rovers game on Saturday, and I was drinking Guinness.
Can we do adverts for cider dark fruit served chilled by Sainsbury's?
Yeah. I mean, we'll have to think one through, and we'll speak to Fowler about Sainsbury's paying us money to do them. But
it's just a thought, Tony.
I mean, it's very Aldi, that can, isn't it, really?
It is.
I didn't know Sainsbury's done knockoffs.
That's from Sainsbury's. Everyone does. Mine, Tesco Value.
Oh, yeah.
Good old days.
Did they do Tesco Value, like...
They did Tesco Value Lager, and my word...
You buy it, you've got to kind of just accept.
Do you know the old Tesco bags where the blue and white stripes looked like a West Brom strip?
Yeah.
It was just that on a can of lager. On the front of it, it said lager.
I remember
every little helps.
I remember Tesco Value brown sauce, and if it was any more vinegary, it would just be vinegar. It was awful.
Yeah.
I like vinegar though.
So is it more like chippy sauce?
What does the Tesco Value vinegar taste like? Brown sauce.
just extremely vinegary.
but you've both come dressed for the occasion. You're looking smart. You've been at pubs.
Thanks, man.
Then we go for the first man on this list. This is a list compiled by Fowler. Also a well-dressed man. And we have Jack Ross.
He's a dressed man.
He's a dressed man. He most certainly is. He's got a lot of clothes, and most of them in isolation are very good. but Jack Ross... found himself a lot of clothes when he got unveiled for his very brief stint at Dundee United, but the camera just cut off a little bit at the end, and it looked like he was sort of wearing shorts.
I don't like this look at all.
Did we ascertain that we're doing the list, by the way, or have we just gone straight into
the
list?
Yeah, I said that right at the beginning.
Right, thank fuck. It's weird because it looks like he's popping a hip as well. Mm-hmm. He's got the scarf above his head, kind of popping a hip a wee bit, and then you see that he's wearing a pair of shorts. He's not actually popping a hip. This has happened to me before. There's a shadow behind him that makes it look like he's sticking his arse out. He isn't. But
come on, surely you should just let people just
see. He is. I believe he had ruptured his Achilles tendon. Which is why he was wearing a pair of shorts, because
they were like jean shorts, weren't they?
Yeah, like jean shorts. Big ASOS vibes.
Yeah, which we'll come on to later.
Yes, just that.
So with that injury, he couldn't wear trousers and jeans. I mean, doesn't make any sense.
He could wear trousers, but it'd be like parachute pants, which would probably look worse when you're wearing a shirt and blazer top.
Honestly, even if I had that injury and I was being presented to the media as the new manager of Dundee United, I would wear trousers with a dress shirt and a suit jacket.
You'd rupture your Achilles all over again. Just to wear
trousers.
How would
we have trousers rupture your Achilles again?
We'd all be fucked. But this doesn't need to be explained. So I don't understand what's going on. Surely jean shorts are like the most uncomfortable things.
Do you know something? I disagree with the whole concept of wearing a shirt and shorts.
Shorts.
Even like abroad. I wouldn't do that.
Aye, but sorry. What kind of shirt are we talking here? Is it a short sleeved Sean McGuigan shirt or a short sleeved Tony Anderson shirt? Are you talking about like a Reese shirt?
No, but like
a short sleeved shirt. Shorts is fine.
It's like, surely that's like
to go out at night.
That's a holiday.
On holiday, aye, of course.
Nah.
What would you wear?
So you'd
wear jeans
35 degrees. And you'd still be whapping the jeans out.
Aye. That sounds horrendous.
Aye, I don't get that.
I'd always wear like jeans or trousers with a shirt going out at night.
There's no chance.
I had a friend who, him and his girlfriend always wore black. They were like...
Goths.
No, they were like... no, but they looked...
Vampires.
What's the director and his old girlfriend's name?
What?
The one, the director who done like Nightmare on Before Christmas and all that.
Tim Burton.
Tim Burton, mm-hmm. And his ex-wife... who's also an actress.
Yes.
Very famous. What's her name again? Help me. Please.
I don't know, man.
Can't remember. She's famous, though.
She's very famous.
Yeah, she's in all these films.
Aye.
I just wish I could remember her name.
Please. I'll check that. But they
Jack
all,
Cross.
they always done this, and no matter where they done they went, they always done it. And he hates shorts as well. But so he once, when he was in Germany, it hit like 45 degrees, and he had to go in and change. And I think he had the sort of like Ross from Friends situation where he couldn't get his jeans down. And eventually, they both came out in black jean shorts. But I don't really know where the story's going.
I went to a wedding in just north of Malaga, a place called Nerca, in July. And I bought a linen suit because I was like, I don't want to wear
shorts. Oh, look, man, good, that sounds like, nah, fucking dynamite.
I was like, I don't want to wear shorts to a wedding.
I remember you posting about this on our chat when you were discussing this.
Yeah. And I bought that, and I wish I'd fucking worn shorts. It was so hot.
Still.
It was so hot. And that's why I'm looking at Sean McGuigan. I'm looking at Sean McGuigan now. You're a man who wears jeans on holiday. In a hot
country. Not during the day.
Aye, but it doesn't matter.
But it gets cooler at night.
Aye, but not that much cooler.
Well, cool enough for me to not wear shorts.
Hell in a bottom car.
Hell in a bottom car.
I was going to say that.
Well, you should have. I needed you.
See the other thing about Jack Ross, that picture. That's the longest scarf I have ever seen. I've never seen a scarf that long. It's like the...
It's like a drape.
It's the scarf equivalent of Rapunzel's hair.
I think that was to distract from the fact...
Dylan Levitt.
Distract from the fact he was wearing shorts, I think.
But it was a bizarre choice. It's called Brian Robson. He'd done it, but his was obviously
different scenario.
I believe they call it a bit.
Yeah,
because he was literally wearing Middlesbrough.
Did we not have a player coach who'd done it as well?
I don't know.
I think there was someone like to show. For a joke that he definitely was a player,
right.
And the coach, he wore like a suit top half.
Got you. Yeah.
Which is fine. That's again a good laugh.
The original banter boys of the 1990s.
Yeah. They know what they were doing.
Yeah, man.
But Jack Ross, I didn't even realise that Jack Ross was doing it due to a medical issue.
Yeah, no, that's why he was, I believe, I don't know this, and I know that Jack Ross will be listening. So if he can let us know. But I'm pretty certain he'd severely injured himself.
I mean, I think he took a lot of shit for it. Got slagged off and slapped my Achilles last night.
I reckon he's in the process of taking legal proceedings against a photographer. Yeah. And it's like, you said it was waist up.
but Sean, no shorts on holiday. I really needed to, even when you go out. But you can buy nice shorts that go with... Especially like holiday shirts. I mean, whenever I was in Albania in Greece, and I bought brand new shirts to go with loads of shorts, and it looks nice
jeans,
for a party.
Nice trainers, shirt.
But what if you go out, per se, for example, at 4 PM, but you know you're going to be out all night? Mm-hmm. It's still going to be very, very hot.
Jeans,
Jesus,
shirt, nice trainers.
Fucking hell, dripping with sweat.
Sean's very much that early evening vibe where you see families leave the hotel. You know, they look fresh as fuck. They're left at like 4, 5 o'clock. The sun's still beaming out, and they go in. They've all clearly been up for the shower, dressed, like sort of like good looking. They're often good looking.
They all absolutely fucking stink of aftershave.
Yeah. And they're all the way out, and obviously you're still drinking, you're still in your shit.
Yeah.
You're not really thought about the fact that you will have to go out for dinner at some point, and you'll probably be sort of a disgrace as they leave the restaurant as you come in.
Yeah. So let's say I've been drinking all day on holiday. Mm-hmm. I would normally go up the road maybe early evening and sleep for a couple of hours and then be okay for going out.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Yeah.
Then
no,
you wake up with a hang. Surely you
wake up with a wee hangover.
Surely when you, for me, when I go to bed,
and then you're putting on a pair of jeans.
Falling about, trying to put on his haircut, got two legs in it, falls flat on his face, splits his head up and just needs to sleep. That's a bizarre show. Going to sleep before going out, I mean, because you're a Tenerife guy, eh, Sean? Uh-huh. That's where you often go. So this is quite a regular occurrence.
So I might go to the pub at 12, then I might go to my bed at 5, then maybe get up at 7.
Do you holiday in Tenerife?
And then go for something to eat and then take it for
Do you holiday in Tenerife? Uh-huh. Beaches are shit.
I spend loads of time with the beach.
No, he actually, my sister lives in Tenerife, so Sean messages me asking but all these pubs. Here we go. Sean will message me about what pubs would be open during the lockdown when they were just half and half.
Yeah.
And I got a glimpse into what a Sean McGuigan holiday.
Listen, the only thing, the only kind of pubs I'm interested in when I go to Tenerife is
Green King pubs. Ho, ho, ho.
Green King.
This show is brought to you by Green King, your home of pub sport. With over 900 sports pubs across the UK, Green King is where the fans go, showing every broadcast game. For broadcast games in the Scottish Premiership, head down to your nearest pub and you can enjoy every live sporting event from BT and Sky Sports on tap. And I am now joined by Mr. Robert Borthwick and Sean McGuigan, and they are going to kindly tell me about their favourite sort of experiences or favourite pubs that are under the Green King banner. We'll start with you, Robbie.
Listen, I love Doctors, which is near Bristol Square in Edinburgh. It maintains the essence of an old man pub in quite a new world. You know, there's a lot of new things happening there. The festival obviously pops off there every single year. Loads of things going on at Bristol Square. Do you know what? If you want to take yourself away from that, get yourself just an authentic pub experience. Doctors is the place to go. It's fantastic. There's a new wee place opened up around the corner. You know, there's all these wee new pubs, all these pop-ups. Nah, not for me at all. Just go and get a solid, hearty pint. Doctors is the place to go.
Lovely. Sean, what's your experience of a Green King?
I would say Platform 5 is the one that I have spent most amount of time in.
Either from 5, so you have to get the train through.
Exactly. Either when I've come off a train and I have time to spare, or when I have time to spare waiting on a train. Two of my favourite experiences, and I remember watching Aberdeen score a last minute winner against Rangers. I thought, was it Madison that scored the free kick?
Yeah.
And I was sat next to a Rangers fan. I was able to bam it right up him, so that was a good laugh. And I remember being insanely jealous because Joel Skedd got his picture taken with Fernando Mendy, and I was actually in the pub at that time, but I was very far away and it was very busy and I didn't know what to try and squeeze past people to get my picture taken, but I was very jealous of Joel that evening.
And people don't say that every single day.
No.
So, I mean, get to your closest Green King, have a great pint. What's that star up in the sky? Climb that mountain peak up high. Hey, we made it. Green King's the greatest. Rocky Beshuri. He joined back at Hibs and there was strong rumours that it was just all a bloody silly accident.
He couldn't have joined Hibs by accident. I refuse to believe that.
Yeah, I mean, but there's...
I know it's a funny tale, but he can't possibly have joined Hibs by accident.
Yeah. I think he might have. Right, Sean Maloney was... he was absolute dog shit as Hibs manager, but he must have realised, or someone in the administration team, which we'll come on to, must have said to him at some stage, by the way, if you play Rocky Beshuri in this fucking meaningless game, then we have to sign him next year, and by the way, you're about to get sacked. And none of that came through, so they played him.
But maybe he's about to get sacked, so Sean Maloney goes, well, guess what?
They played him when they didn't have to play him, and dead rubbers towards the end of the season, which then sort of triggered the clause.
But then he's not been okay this season. He's been okay,
We'll come on to that.
That's like another added to this whole tale.
However,
he did get released.
Yeah,
they did say released.
Yeah,
for Rocky Beshuri, didn't they?
Yeah. But I think there was an obligation because Hibs played them in so many games.
But that's what gives it the idea that it was made a mistake, because the club said thank you for your services to Rocky Beshuri, and he was on the release list. Aye. And then a week later
he was back.
He's got a scarf above his head. Oh wait, wearing shorts and a shirt.
I just remembered you had like points deducted in the League Cup or something. Administration is not your forte. You signed them by accident.
Signed them by accident, played them by accident.
And then he played, and I started to feel sorry for Rocky Beshuri here, because he was kind of the laughing stock, even though nothing was really his fault. If you get picked to play, you just say, great, I'm playing. And you just go out and do it. You're not really thinking that you might have picked up like a certain amount of bookings or whatever it was. And he became sort of a bit of a laughing stock.
Well, I'd love did anyone ever watch The Fast Show? Mm-hmm. Do you know Unlucky Alf? You know, they
don't remember it.
The old boy. The old boy is like kept predicting exactly what was about to happen to him. Kind of feels like that's Rocky Beshiri in this situation.
Oh, bugger.
And it's like Rocky Beshiri tells very specifically the catering staff that he's allergic to nuts. And then they make him a chicken korma. And it's like, oh, bugger. And then he's out for 6 weeks. And it's like, you know, they buy him a flat that doesn't have a balcony. All this kind of stuff. Like, it just feels like Rocky Beshiri in the first weeks that he came back to Hibs was very much the butt of the joke, when in actual fact it wasn't his fault. It was circumstance around him that made it all really, really funny. Mm-hmm. Like he doesn't work in administration, so he wouldn't have been able to say like, oh, I'm suspended, by the way. Mm-hmm. That's for someone else to do.
But then all of a sudden Rocky Beshiri becomes one of Hibs' best players this season, and
yeah,
who the, and then
yeah, that's, you know,
what, I think this is when you're obliged to say,
that's
what a funny old game.
No, exactly.
It's
exactly.
Not a high bar, though, is it?
Oh, yeah, that's now a fair point. But I mean, considering he was like kind of roundly a bit of a joke figure when he was playing last season, I think there's a surprise at how much he's come on. But that's not funny to talk about, and we're doing the list. So, Shiri, thank you for your service. We will continue with that.
Yeah,
and let's go on to. I mean, you're always going, who here has been scannied in their lives?
I've been scannied.
So, to be honest, when I read this on this, I didn't know what that meant.
Scannied?
Oh, come on.
No, I didn't know what I meant. Honestly.
Scannied? I didn't realise that can't just be like an Edinburgh thing, is it?
Scannied?
I didn't know what I meant.
I was on a
let me show you.
I was on a Green King. being scat is just it's having your trousers tweaked down.
So now I've read, because basically I've now read Fowler's tweets where this came from. I now understand it. But I didn't realise that's what I meant.
A golden scanting is when you kind of catch the underwear on the way down as well. You know, it's not just the trousers.
So judging by Fowler's tweets, that's what happened in this Bonnyrigg Morton. Is that right?
Yeah.
Cock it.
Jack Tongo was the scanter.
Yeah.
Bradley Barrett was the scantee.
Yeah.
And then, do you know something? Looking at the Bonnyrigg players, if there is, and don't get me wrong, I mean, we all, everybody's different. Everybody likes different kind of bums. But if there was one SPFL team whose bums...
What kind of bums do you like?
I'd add smaller ones. If there was,
you're so old, Sean.
Well, certainly smaller ones than the Bonnyrigg players are bit of.
No shorts on holiday, tiny bums. It's just like, oh, it's all.
No, what I mean is, like, there's a number
jeans
of
jeans and trainers.
There's a number of Bonnyrigg players that have big bums,
and they can't lie. I got scanted at school. It's quite bad, actually. They got done at NP.
Is it a Green King pub?
I was in the back of a Green King, right? But I was in high school and just got scanted, pulled right down so everyone see it. And then before I'd even made it back out of the P hall, there was older kids when I was coming out doing the small pinky movement sign. So it already spread before I'd even left the room the scanting had happened.
Oh, no.
And that started a long, arduous... remember John Hughes scanted an Inverness Cali player when they were celebrating at Easter Road? Was it against Hearts? Was it against Hibs? I can't mind.
It was a cup game, wasn't it?
It was maybe against Hibs and it went to a replay.
And he
scanted it. And he scanted one of the players, and I can't remember who it was.
What a laugh he is.
Oh, bloody John.
What a laugh he is.
Oh, bloody John.
Honestly, just a proper football man.
Society's fault.
Right, this image. I didn't see this one. Sorry. I apologise. One second. Let's have
talk into your microphone, Tony.
I'm trying to. Now I'm hurting my neck and mouth.
I can't hear you.
It's like your mouth has actually moved towards your cheek.
Oh, yes.
You look like the last in this picture.
The one dabbing.
Aye.
Everyone will know this picture. Rob, Sean, you're on the TV show. You're very, very good at describing.
So is this the is this about Cove Rangers?
Mm.
It was, so I can't remember who Cove Rangers were playing, but basically somebody took a shot and it went into the crowd who had gathered behind the goals. It appears to have really affected what appears to be, I don't know if it's a mother and son or perhaps a couple, but she has avoided the ball, fair play to her, by what appears to be a dab. And he has multiple drinks, one in his left hand, one in his right hand, but he also appears to have taken a big gulp of one of the drinks. Yeah. And as the ball strikes the left hand, the right hand, he's also spitting out the drink. It's like what is the... See if you're 10-pin bone, what's the hardest... Is it the 7-10 split that's the hardest to achieve? It looks like whoever's struck this football has achieved the 7-10 split. It's an incredible... It looks like Joe Hart as well.
See if you take the football out of it, it looks like just out of shot, there's a jetliner just about to take off. It's just blowing them all out of kilter.
If anyone's not seen it, it's like, it's huge Mike Parry vibes when he...
the cinnamon challenge.
The cinnamon challenge. Incredible.
When he thinks that people are woke for saying that that if they eat too much cinnamon, that it'll make them a bit uncomfortable.
Honestly.
And then he chokes to death.
Yeah. It's superb. You know, sometimes I wonder if he's always just doing a bit Mike Parry, but...
I mean, when Just Stop Oil started spray painting, spray painting buildings orange, I was like, "Fucking Mike Parry's been that again, daft old cunt." No, this is one of my favourite pictures of Scottish football history, to be honest, because she is. It does look like she's doing a quite well manufactured dab. And the boy, for some reason, has about 8 drinks in his hands. I feel like the thing that's at his mouth. Looks like a poke of chips that's just been liquefied.
It's turned into an ice cream.
It's been liquefied by the power of the ball. Everything about this is...
Nice classic hairdo the guy's got as well. We've got the...
He looks like the boy off of Gogglebox.
See, it's difficult. I do watch Gogglebox.
The boy looks like Keir Starmer.
Oh, yeah.
The ones that live in a caravan.
Yeah.
Actually, she looks like her as well.
She looks like the...
Was it them?
Yeah, it's them. It's dressed like Sean on holiday.
In Bristol. In Leeds.
He's been hit by a ball.
right.
Moira's dabbing.
Right, now we get on to sort of more the pettiness of Scottish football teams. Like, I forgot about this. Rangers told to get on with it after complaining. This is bizarre.
I'd never heard of this.
Yeah, I mean, over the thickness of the goal lines prior to their opening day match. Now we see maybe why, because Rangers are shit.
Yeah.
And this was sort of like premeditated that maybe we are going to struggle. But it's always Livingston. It's always problems at Livingston's grounds.
But it was Robbie McCrory that brought it to the referee's attention. Why would he have to bother with it? But the referee actually brought out a measuring tape.
All right.
And then measured it and then said, oh, you're right, they are too thick. And then he realised that there was absolutely nothing. As it was 10-3, there was nothing they could do about it.
This all just feels to me that Livingston are chads and Rangers are incels. Yeah. The size matters. I appreciate it. Was it Nick Walsh was the referee? He's not my favourite referee on earth, I'll be honest. But his response of essentially just grow up.
I've got shit to do. That would always be my response in this environment.
Listen, I need to find my whistle. Just fucking leave me alone.
I just got scattered in there.
Is there a green kit back there?
I've got a green king to get to after this.
I booked a 4-person table in a green kit.
I'm desperate to watch a small television. We're having some chips.
Nicky Walsh.
I do appreciate the referee's response of essentially just like grow up.
Yeah, I mean, what am I going to do now? I start chipping away on the afterthought. what happens if VAR? Oh, well, come on, if VAR, we don't want to.
I do wonder if like the lines were too thick because Duncan Mackay painted them. And then Duncan Mackay painted them. They're like the wibbliest, wobbliest lines you've ever
seen. But on this occasion, he lost the actual line painter and used a car.
What else can they get Duncan to do? There must be more shit that he can do.
100% there's more stuff he can do.
It's one of his ideas not to be a policeman at a game.
Imagine they kept on. Surely it's illegal to dress up as a policeman and just pretend to be a bobby.
Duncan ends up at the new shame game.
You should agree to making only police a Celtic Rangers game. Just Duncan. It's an evening kickoff.
Duncan picking a 10-pence piece out of a referee's heat. Duncan Kills just being like, oh, I didn't sign up for that.
Duncan policing a little known 8 p.m. kickoff for a Celtic Rangers game.
Yeah, why, what's good about this then?
Okay. Well, you need law and order.
He was always wanting. He said to me, he came up with some idea about them going abroad to do something, and like it sounded amazing, but that's not going to happen.
No,
but someone who did decide to go on holiday. Well, it was meant to be working.
That was a fucking good segue, good, by
good.
The way.
Thanks. Oh, my really God. Good, Tony. You're good at this.
Tony, you're very good at this.
Good at this.
That was a bit forced.
I know how scared you were.
Rory McAllister is transfer listed by Cove Rangers for just going on holiday, which is, I mean...
I don't see the issue.
And grow up, Cove Rangers.
Yeah, I mean,
talking about Rangers and the thick lines. You've signed Rory McAllister, possibly could be your greatest ever player. If he wants to nip off on holiday before the season starts, probably just let him.
Aye, man.
I think this is a man that is just desperate not to play any higher than the third tier of Scottish football.
That's fair enough. Surely we can appreciate that.
Did you just get promoted? I've just bought wee flights to Dubai.
Even if I had to like fly back early.
Aye.
But they refused.
Nah, he just loves
offer to
the
fly
third,
back
yeah.
early.
Aye. He said he offered to fly back early.
I was about, I could come back early then. Oh no, I didn't even want to be on it. I went back.
How's he doing for Montrose?
Okay, he's been out for a wee while.
You all right?
How old's he now?
40.
No, he's not that old.
No?
he's getting on a bit.
Aye, so fuck it. I mean,
that's fine. I mean, the back of the net is back of the net. He knows where to find it.
It's just frustrating.
It's not Dubai, though. That's the problem.
I know,
it's just frustrating that I've never seen him at particularly.
Did they actually go to Dubai?
Surely not. It can't be that low. I suppose he does have other jobs. Yeah, that's the whole point. That's why he stays in. He must do all right because he always never wants to move forward.
Aye, anyone north of Angus will be like, Rory McAllister, I will take you. Aye. That's fine.
You keep asking, did he go to Dubai?
Did he? I said Dubai as an example.
If Skegness he went to, but... Cove are still
having... That'd be the return party.
Cove are still having none of it.
Right, what we got next? I mean, well, quickly, I mean, the Aki's managed to get through 14 seconds of a match, and then they started sort of fighting.
There's no link to this. I couldn't remember who they were playing.
There is a link there. I'm doing the thing with my neck again.
Oh, was there?
Wait,
no. Oh, yes. No, there was a link. There's a link, but the link is to a tweet that says there's a Rami.
It was a, what's the word? A shamash.
No, that's a
different link.
You know what? I'm clicking it.
Sorry, like Stevie Wonder.
I'm clicking it, everyone.
Stevie Wonder's mouth wasn't in his cheek.
Right, here we go. And 14 seconds, everyone is involved in a shamash. Woo! Which sees one side from each side cautioned. Sean Want for us.
There you go. So well, now it's much shamash. Cleaner.
Oh, there you go.
Because then there's a debate. Someone, Andy McNeil, comes in.
14.
Your word shamash might be one for the parameters required for its use for football cliches, which is obviously a popular thing to do.
If we were to sit here and count out 14 seconds, it's not that long.
No, I think that's the purpose of the headline.
Kind of what makes
the link. That's why.
Yeah, but now if it was 28 minutes, then probably nobody would.
No, but it's like what I'm saying is, it's like, you know, that's enough. 14 seconds is enough time for a midfielder to go
through someone.
That's unusual.
Aye, but you lay your marker then.
Yeah, did Vinny Jones know just going 2 foot someone in about 1 second?
I think he was booked after about 5 seconds.
That was back when they were men though, and there was a smash after everyone just got up and gone with.
Was the earliest red card ever not? It was the boy was taking kickoff, and the referee blew his whistle, but blew it right next to his ear. He went, "Oh, you fucker!" And the referee was really against foul language. It just sent him off almost immediately.
But the guy's nearly been made deaf by his whistle.
Oh, well, exactly. It's referee's fault.
Yeah, as bloody well usual.
Nick Walsh.
Right, what's the strangest thing you've used to make a sound, to make music with? people, like, there's a classic, the sort of farting on your hand. That didn't really work.
That was rubbish.
Do that. The people using the blades of grass, I've seen that in the past.
Yeah, I've done that. I used to be able to make an owl noise just using my hands.
Please.
See if I can do it. No.
Oh. Iceberg, right ahead.
Is that an owl or just a whistle?
I think it's maybe just it sounds kind of like a train. Mm-hmm. No, I can't do it anymore.
Well, it was short-lived, but then you proved it.
I mean, now you've done it. Listen, don't get yourself down. Yeah.
Get yourself out of breath.
I don't want to pass out.
If we can try and edit out the bad versions of that.
Just keep them. Doesn't matter. That's probably the best you could do. That's probably mine. Aye.
What about you? Sure, you ever made a funny noise with your?
I've got really squeaky shoes. I've got a pair of night shoes that if I just kick the ground, they make a really loud, like really loud squeaking noise. So I sometimes do that for a laugh.
I don't know what I could do.
For a laugh? What? Just yourself while you're walking?
Do it quite genuinely, Tony. Yes.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Yeah.
I think I can bring my fingers to my mouth and make a popping noise.
All right.
That's all right. I can do.
Tony could not have been less impressed.
Just turn around, you're fucking thumping yourself in the mouth.
People have been to a Green King today.
That's all right, aye.
Yes. What can I do? I can do a.
I can do a really loud whistle with my fingers.
Oh, good. My favourite's to do. I can make a pterodactyl noise.
No, you can't. We didn't even know what a pterodactyl sounded like.
Well, have you ever seen Jurassic Park?
Did you ever fucking meet one?
That's just a guess.
All right, I'll show you. Well, again, everything's a guess, but I'll show you.
Everything's a guess.
Yeah, that's
why did you do that with your mouth when you could have just done it?
No, but it's funny to do that because when you turn your head sideways, you get the side profile. It's very funny. I once done that as a joke with my foreskin and made the noise.
Who was your audience?
Oh, friends.
ex-friends. And family members I've not seen for a long time.
I'm going to get lifted by you.
One of these Zoom quizzes during lockdown.
We all need law and order.
Otherwise everyone turns their cock into dinosaurs.
But
I'm glad I managed to get that in. I've been doing that for years. As I say, the cock thing. the mouth thing. It's funny. Someone who else made a funny noise once.
I kind of get my head around this. I don't know how he's doing it.
That's what I was going to say, because the trainers look very new. the trainers look very new. So just to give some context, part of this will be in Dundee at Dens, which is fairly regular standard these days, according to Eric Geddes. But it's not every day you see and hear a young Jags fan using his shoe as a whistle. And they look like really, really new shoes.
I was thinking that may be manky as anything,
but
I want to know how he found out how to do it.
It's just like blowing into the rear of his trainers.
Just got a foot thing. Got a hanger.
It's got a high-pitched whistle. There you go.
So I'm trying to look. Is it the two holes that are in it? I'll try and pause it on the bit where the shoe removes from his mouth. There we go, right. So what, is there anything there? I was thinking, is he made up? What I need to know is he pre-planned this by putting like a small hole in the back of the trainer at the point which allows for it? Or, because if he's not pre-planned it, how did he find it out?
What I wanted to know is this guy just a creep and there was someone behind him with a whistle? just filmed it at the wrong time. That guy's just licking shoes. That's not even his shoe. Boy's an absolute wronging.
There's some poor wee laddie walking about with one shoe on. Like he's got a limp.
He's still living something in the Cleffy bar.
but it was impressive.
I thought so. It was impressive.
Well, that guy had a good view, whistling, enjoying himself, but people had a bad view.
Oh.
At FC Edinburgh these days. It seems to be quite common. I know we'll not talk about it, but I know they've put things in motion to change that, which I'm sure everyone's happy with. But the first time they unveil their new home at Meadowbank, which there was, I suppose, big build up to. And they charged Dunfermline fans £18. And when they say the worst view in football, I don't think there's too much exaggeration in that.
I mean, unless you were buried alive under a football pitch, I don't think there's many worse views than what the Dunfermline fans were served.
I'm now thinking about a game of whack-a-mole on a football pitch where people just put their heads up through the pitch. Guy with a whistling shoe just hitting them back down.
See, the fact that FC Edinburgh saw them coming and just went... Yeah, by the way, £18.
Yeah,
right, just charge them. They're fucking stupid. And then and then they charged them 18 quid is remarkable. But the fact that Dunfermline fans paid it, and then later on, maybe 2 weeks later, Falkirk fans paid the same. They saw the photos, they saw what this looked like, and they were like, yeah. Do you know what? I've got £18 to spare.
And
I'm going to do this as well.
And then once they both visited, the biggest travelling fans in the division, mm-hmm. then they reduced it to 12.
Hey, it's almost like it was pre-meted.
Well, listen, you see that, Tony? I just mentioned it as a fact.
All right, okay.
It is a fact. I mean, it is a fact that they did that, and then they brought the prices down due to cost of living.
Because before that, everyone thought everything was going to be great for the next 5 years.
Listen, Tony, we're just saying facts.
That's all we're here
for. I once won a relay race on that track. Mind, yeah, I mean, you're an Edinburgh boy, Tony.
Interscholastics. I can do that. I was meant to
Interscholastic planetary.
Interscholastic space, man.
This is really, I don't know why, but this is really cool.
I also on the old Meadowbank, I played baseball for Scotland. Not like the main team, but for the Bairns.
The main Scotland baseball. So is there a baseball World Cup? How does this work?
Nah, man, it was basically...
There certainly used to be a baseball World Cup.
So the Canadians came over, the Canucks, and they basically brought like all their Bairns in that.
All their pals.
And I was playing for the one baseball team, essentially, that was in Edinburgh. And they were like, oh, do you want to just, you know, be like the sort of precursor to the actual game between Scotland and Canada? I was like, yeah, fine. Scored a home run. I fucking love that place.
You scored a home run?
I love that place. And then I went and watched an FC Edinburgh game and I wanted to leave as soon as I got there.
You're just standing there looking over at the time. I remember the good old days.
Nah, they bring back memories.
Are you into baseball?
Nah. So basically it got to a stage where...
I mean, it just shows how shit people don't take baseball in Scotland, but how you get into play for the Scottish baseball team, even youth team,
without ever
playing baseball.
Tony, if you listen to me,
okay,
I did play for the one team in Edinburgh that played baseball.
What was their name?
I don't know.
There's a fun... Oh,
Edinburgh.
You didn't even know the team that you played for.
Edinburgh.
There's a lot of holes in this, Rob.
So I was, when I was like 13, 14, 15, mm-hmm. I just played every sport that you could think of. I used to play cricket. Play cricket at the Grange in Stockbridge.
Curling.
I used to play golf.
I can think of loads of sports.
I was never curling. I played baseball. I played football. I played rugby.
Gridiron.
American football.
Never played American football.
I remember Fowler done.
I'd get snapped in two. But in baseball, there's no contact. You just need to catch and throw.
Kabaddi.
I ended up playing for quote unquote Scotland youth team, which was essentially just because we were the only baseball team in Edinburgh.
It was Canada came over and they must have absolutely pammered.
Well, in the men's game.
Yeah.
Oh, they fucking binned them. I think I left it like the third innings or whatever it was, because I was like, this isn't even funny.
Yeah.
It's just a shame. Like, my parents came to see me, and then all the actual adults' parents came to see them, and they were having a terrible time as well. Shite.
Sean, you ever played any sort of more abstract sports in your time?
I've still got my mitts.
I mean, I know it's baseball isn't an abstract sport, but it's an abstract sport in the context of this country. Just to clarify, before someone tweets going like, well, actually, over 10 million people watched baseball last year.
I got half my kneecap ripped off playing rugby at school, and I quite like badminton.
Badminton.
I quite like badminton.
What happened to it?
Oh, I play tennis as well.
To my knee?
Never badminton.
Yeah.
So basically, I tackled somebody, but I kind of landed on his, like, the kind of sole of his... He was in football boots.
Mm.
And spud kind of went in my knee and ripped it like a massive chunk.
That sounds horrible.
It was horrible. I had to get stitches.
Bloody stitches.
Did you ever play sport, Tony?
Once upon a time. I mean, I don't look like it, but...
not what I was saying.
I played basketball. A little bit more. I'm just saying, obviously, played football. But slightly more abstract.
That's like the one sport I'd say that you shouldn't.
Well, basket is a small, stumpy man. But I was getting low center of gravity, so you could bounce it quite low and go around people. And I was running through people's legs. Very, very much.
They couldn't make any points.
And I very, very much played it in a way like I just played football, where I would just get physical and just like you would be shoulders
just
involved.
Fuck people up.
Yeah, you know, that's how you go. That was always how I played because I was so slow.
Yeah.
So I would always use the sort of low center of gravity, big lumbering, and just lean in and.
It's so funny because it's such a fast sport.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the fastest sport you could imagine.
But and I was playing, and I could play with my hands.
I like how
that.
You're actually like doing motions of bouncing
when
a ball.
When we were in Fowler's garden, I was doing all sorts on that basketball net that he had.
You were throwing the ball at it.
Aye.
And it sometimes went in.
Aye, more than everyone else.
Aye, no, Chris Fingham was best, to be fair.
I don't know if that's true, but nah, we'll come I mean, on that, to Chris.
Well, I was there.
He got more baskets.
I was there.
I was doing it like that, but not even looking. No look, swoosh.
Think of all the windows you smashed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I felt like I waited all
the Craig that. Anderson's child still got a concussion.
Smashed the barbecue.
But I did, I was meant to do the Interscholastics, going back to that,
right.
Many years ago.
Injury?
Yeah, because someone kicked the ball at my feet in the playground when right. I was running.
That's what
and
you should do.
And then it kicked. Yeah, yeah. But I wasn't looking and they picked it up and volleyed it.
Right.
And I got caught on my feet, so I fell and I dislocated my shoulder.
Holy shit.
And then I couldn't, I wasn't allowed to go. And then I also wasn't allowed to go skiing. You know how they used to do the skiing?
I used to do skiing as well.
I've done that.
Sorry, yeah.
I've done that at school.
And I wasn't able to do that. And that was like the only time that I would ever have the opportunity.
Tony, you used to be a real loss to the Interscholastic.
I used to compete in the skiing. I used to race.
Right, okay. What was it? What's the name of the one in Edinburgh?
Hill End.
Hill End, that's the one.
Really difficult. Yeah. Much more difficult to ski at Hill End than it is on real snow.
Or Everest.
Yeah.
No, it's been like the,
no, real snow is loads easier.
Aye, miles easier.
Aye.
Is Hill End still... Oh.
Aye, it's still kicking about, aye.
Yeah. Surely, aye. I mean, it just
it's like, got a big jump.
Because it's got... Just because it's the only place here, and obviously, if they've got kids to primary school, when they go, they all go to Hill End, so it's like a constant stream of custom there, even if and they've not got any competitors in the Edinburgh area. So, I can't
you know when, you know when that old footage of Rishi Sunak came out when he was like, yeah, I've got middle class friends? Well, not middle class. I feel like that's what I've just done by saying that I played baseball, skied, played fucking rugby.
At least you never lost your kneecap.
That is true. At least I'm not the Prime Minister.
Mm. I dislocate my shoulder quite a lot of times.
Did you? And I will see when it goes once, it'll go loads.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I dislocate my shoulder twice.
It happened, the first time it happened to me was because I was up north. I think I was in Oban or something. And me and my sister were on
shoulders always go in Oban.
Lower air density.
me and my sister were on a seesaw. Right. And she just didn't care. There was, you know, there's etiquette for getting.
Did she
off
just fuck off?
Yeah, yeah. And I just pinged off. I had to go get an X-ray and that. And then, so
like,
then,
like a pog.
Yeah, like I'd be hit by a slammer. and then, like it popped out now and again. It's dislocated a few times properly, but then it, you know, it can like pop out occasionally.
Yeah.
And once when I was out minced. Thinking of another sport, I tried to play cricket with a small piece of glass at a smashed up bus stop at Haymarket Station.
What?
Someone smashed up. So
what do you mean? Using it as a bat or a ball?
They're using it. I pretended the ball, and I pretended to do like a proper cricket throw. And I don't know. My shoulder just completely popped out. And this is like 3 o'clock in the morning, and I've got like everyone around here trying to pop it back in. And then I went all the way home. People were coming back to my
house.
What
was your target?
Yeah.
What was your...
It was a man with a bat.
just a random boy waiting on a bus.
Freddie Flintoff was across the road. I'm just like that. So then eventually we couldn't get it. And then we all went all the way home. And we were seconds away from like the hospital trip at 4 o'clock in the morning. The one thing no one wants to happen. And then I...
And then you moved on to the next thing in the list.
Yeah, that's what I did. And talking of that, we are going to Tom the Commentator. That's his full name. That's what his mother called him.
To Mr. and Mrs. the Commentator. A son, Tom.
Put his foot in his mouth in spectacular style, Sean.
This is mortifying.
On Rangers TV.
This is horrifying.
So let me get this right. It's Tom Commentator and Gordon Smith. Is that right?
Yeah.
And they're playing the Belgian side that they played in Europe in the qualifying round. Is that right?
Yeah.
And Tom, the commentator, asked Gordon Smith if he's aware that... Is it Shea Logan?
No.
No, no, no. No. Who is it?
Logan...
Logan
Smith.
Chalmers. Logan Roy.
Click the fucking link.
I'm sorry, I'm not doing it. I'm doing it again.
You're like John Legend. Tony's just hydrating himself.
Right, here we go. Tom the bloody commentator.
Aye, Tom Com.
Logan Chalmers. The fucking fullback for Cove. Logan Bailey. Bailey Logan.
Yeah.
Logan Bailey.
I think I may have just heard the biggest faux pas on Rangers TV comms. Tom to Gordon Smith, do you know Royal Union's son Gail Waz's goalkeeper coaches and ex-Celtic player called Logan Bailey? I think Gordon knows him fairly well because he's the absent father of Gordon's dad.
Fucking hell. You're so grim.
It was when you think Tom the commentator found out about his faux pas. Like probably during the game.
Weeks later.
Think Tom the commentator done this, planned it?
No.
He's not a kind of guy.
Nah, he's not.
He fucking loves Gordon Smith.
No, I just think he's not capable of.
Yeah,
no,
I don't think he's capable
of pre-planning.
he's not capable of a bit. There's not a chance.
That's so good, but that's. I mean, funny though.
Yeah.
Tom the commentator.
I put my foot in my mouth recently, but I won't mention it.
Gordon Smith's never been back.
Right, talking of Rangers. We're doing a podcast, aren't we?
Yeah,
and we aren't football managers. And what we've decided to do, would you decide to go on, if you were Hearts manager,
yeah,
Robert, would you go on a St Mirren podcast?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, would you go on a Hibs podcast?
Yeah, for a laugh.
All right, okay. We'll just move on to the next one then.
Cool.
But wait, it's not just the fact they went on a Rangers podcast, it's the fact it was called Battle Fever. I mean, that sounds real. I've never listened to it.
He's coming down with it.
Sounds staunch.
Very staunch. But I did find that there's just a line that you should. Again, these things don't matter, but they do matter. And I think sometimes it's just like this idea of disrespect. Like, I don't care. I don't get bored by that, but I can see why fans would care.
Bear in mind, like, the thing at the time was like,
and
oh,
they're holding himself out.
Like, oh, he's a Rangers man and he's no that fussed about taking points off Rangers. But then, like, it was only a few weeks ago that Livingston
took two points off Rangers.
Yeah. And, like, he's talking about the fact afterwards, he goes, I've got at least six players in my dressing room that are Celtic fans. He goes, so do you think I can honestly say to them, listen, let's just take it easy against Rangers today, and they'll listen to me. It's just like it's a nonsense. However, they're going to a podcast called Battle Fever.
Right, let's go over one more before we head over to Patreon. And if you have been enjoying this podcast, we are going to continue just with this list. Like, nothing's ever happened. Like, there's not been a break. There's been no editing. But it'll just be, you'll have to pay for it.
I feel like we've only done about three things here.
We've went off on a lot of tangents.
Yeah,
but that's the whole point in the list.
Okay.
And we're coming to friend of the show, friend of mine, Mr. Christopher Finn.
He's got long hair.
He has, he's got long hair. He plays music.
He's got a daughter.
He's got a daughter, yeah, new daughter, Tia.
Yeah.
Who was round here a couple of weeks ago. I met her for the first time.
Oh, really?
What was she saying?
She was having a good laugh. She doesn't need, no good anecdotes though, so I got a bit bored.
No.
We had some salmon, some hollandaise.
She had salmon?
No, she didn't.
I was going to say, that's a lot for her young palate.
Yeah, I think she just does boobies right. For the time being. Boring, doesn't need, again, she can't even go for a nice meal.
Sean, your face.
Lit up.
My word.
But Chris, he likes his Twitter.
Yeah, he does. He has a laugh, doesn't he?
And I'd say this is probably, possibly his most viral tweet. Now that I'm looking at it now, and I've seen it click 4,155 bloody likes.
What I'm seeing here is 270 retweets, 114 quote tweets. That's a good ratio. Mm-mm. That's a lot of people who want to talk about it and not just retweet it.
I was getting text messages for a boy I used to work with who's a Dundee United fan. He goes, I've been seeing Jack Ross's film. He goes, have you heard anything? Any information about Jack Ross phoning it with Tony Watt? I've read about it on Twitter. I goes, look, I literally know the person who put that on Twitter. It's a load of rubbish.
But yeah, because Gary Cock.
Right, shall I read it out loud?
Yeah, please do.
So from Chris Finn 2703, is that his birthday?
This is his favourite number.
2703.
Yeah, that was the year he was born.
Right.
Holy shit!
I think it's the 27th of March. I think you might be. I think you might be onto something.
It's like some Terminator shit there.
So came back through time. To change your life for one sophisticated lady.
To just ruin Jack Ross's career.
No, actually, he was born in the year 2703, but he'd heard good things about the Green King pubs and was desperate to sample them. So came back in time.
So Chris Finn said the rumours about Tony Watt and Jack Ross having to be held apart in the dressing room after the game yesterday are sad. Sadly true. Apparently it all kicked off after what called his manager the ASOS Ancelotti.
So the thing, I think there was rumours that Tony Watt and Jack Ross had a falling out.
Yeah. Chris's style on Twitter is drier than pine. You know, it's very, very dry. And I think that because of the style this tweet was put out, he hooked on a lot of hungry fish.
I was really shocked. So was he, because he was obviously messaging, he couldn't believe, because people were being like really earnest back to him. And then I was telling him, I was saying, I'm hearing Gary Cocker told me that his dad came at him and said they were talking about it. His Dundee United pal at work was asking him about it. So he could ask Gary about it and all this. And I'm like, wow. But then people ruin these things because rather than just enjoying the tweet, everyone has to come back with their attempt at the same thing.
I think you need to realise is like how seriously a lot of people take Twitter.
Like
I posted the other day after Hearts beat Motherwell, and Alex Cochrane put in a man of the match performance. He played very well, and I tweeted saying Alex Cochrane may well be the best player to ever play for Hearts, right? And someone immediately replied, "Have you ever heard of fucking Dave McKay?" Like,
right. You ever heard of that fucking Rudy Scandal? Right.
It's like, you must be pretty young if you think that. And it's like, so right.
Fucking I don't, please.
Why,
stop.
Why don't you understand what I'm doing here?
I put, not even smart.
I put a question mark in brackets. I thought that was enough.
You're actually trying to gift them. You're spoon feeding them the sarcasm.
Honest to fuck. And then, Chris put this out, but I think it was like at that stage, Jack Ross had enough of a rift within the Dundee United support, and Tony Watt had been said to have possibly taken some offence to it, that it was like the perfect storm. It was the perfect storm of people being like, fuck, I think this is true, by the way.
And Chris really tapped into it.
He did. He did. Tapped right in.
Yeah. And now that I just remember him telling me he was frustrated. But I think this is his best style of tweet. Chris he was asking me about what he thought. And I was saying, this is definitely the best.
Chris asked you for feedback on his tweet.
Yeah, Chris Finn does do things like this.
Does he? Does he?
Why? I thought he just asked for feedback on his music or something.
Hospital Corner, there's some new music coming out now, some exciting stuff. If anyone's interested, could be playing the Green King near you.
I was going to say, Tony is our Green King.
Chris, yep, a very viral tweet, very funny, and silly men of Scottish football were metaphorically scanted. And now that we have finished scanting you, my listener, do you want to come over and give us the money shot and join us on Patreon?
Fucking hell.
Join us on Patreon. I imagine this will be the £2... Maybe a £5 level, depends.
Maybe
if Fowler thinks this is any good, he might put
£2 it is.
I was only joking about your clothes, Fowler.
It's free. This is £2.
He's £2 and you can hear us talk about...
I can smell garlic.
Maybe my Mandy, my fiancé, is cooking.
It smells very nice. Yeah.
Fingers crossed, that'd be good when I finished here. If I'd known you were coming here, I would have organised dinner for you as well.
That's fine.
Just go through, it's just a massive roasted garlic.
Mandy's passed out.
There's a vampire in there. That makes sense.
It's my pal's dressed all in black again. Sweating because it's too hot. I should have worn black jean shorts. And if you'd like to continue listening, talking about all these things, please come over and join us at Patreon. And thank you very much.
Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.